Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Clayton, what song is that?
Well,
yeah, I got the time,
and
I finally. Do you remember what song that is?
Yeah, man, I can't say the first word of the track.
You get... people. Okay, I got my very, very good homie Clayton Wells as my co-host today. Now,
yes, sir.
We're gonna calm down for a second, because it's still too soon. It's still too soon to be talking to so many people at once. And granted, you know, many people listen, but whoever does listen, I definitely want you to know that our prayers at the Eric Terrell Show are with Orlando. As Clayton clears the static in his phone.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. It's a unique tragedy. It's obviously a historic tragedy, and I just want to say real quick, because we've got a topic at hand, a topic that'll get us away from this one, because sometimes we just want to get away from it, you know. Because this is something that if you have a heart, you're always kind of thinking about in the back of your head for a little while. It takes a while for it to not hurt to think about it. It'll always hurt, but it's a unique tragedy. Like I said, it's a historic tragedy. I agree with the president that it is an act of hate. He also called it an act of terror. I'm not sure I agree with that, only because I feel like, I'm not sure what the president means by act of terror. I always correlate terror with terrorism. I don't know if it was terrorism. This 29-year-old man grew up in the United States, and he was raised in New York City. And it's just an act of pure hatred, whether it's hatred for gays, whether it's hatred for people, period. It's hatred. And I just want to say that there's no place for hatred in this country, in this world. And there's no place for division, all right, because we are all in this thing for the common good. We are all in this thing for one another. I need you the way you need me. And he destroyed way too many lives for us to move on so easily. There's so much stirring from what happened Saturday night and Sunday morning, including the brand new interest in gun control, which is what I plan to do 2 weeks from now on the show, partly because of this, and I'm guilty, just like most of us, for revisiting something that should be important all the time when something like this happens. But I just wanted to say that. Our prayers are with them. Now, first of all, as we lift our spirits up, I've got the perfect thing to do it, Clayton. The announcement that Summer Love is coming in 3 weeks. Summer Love. The Summer Love series will be here.
Summer Love.
That's it. Relationship topics, love topics, sex topics, real topics. You understand me?
Everything.
It will be hot. It will be heavy. It will be serious. Summer Love. This is our girl power finale, Clayton. Girl power. We're finally closing. I love doing that. I feel like I got the best weave when I do that. I feel like everything's would. Yeah. Not natural.
You sound like an actor.
No. Well, I mean, that would make it an authentic girl power chant, but.
I see.
I feel like the baddest. I feel like my booty's big. I feel girl power. Like it's maybe I do it wrong. I don't. We're moving on. But anyway, is the finale of the Girl Power series. Today, solving discrimination against the female professional. I've got the perfect special guest for you that is going to join us in just a few short moments. All right? She will be here, Miss Brandi Flowers. Right now, I have myself and we usually have my co-host Asia Downing, but this is a professional show, so I decided to let Asia go ahead and do something else. I'm lying. Asia had something else to do. So my dear friend Clayton Wells is here. It's been a while since you've been here, Clayton. I'm glad to have you back,
man,
with us.
Been a minute. Glad to be back. Hope everybody's doing all right, man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now, did you want to say anything about Orlando, anything about yourself before I jump in? I'm just ready.
You really hit the nail on the head, in my opinion, man. You said everything that really can be said at this point, you know, as far as us getting more information about the assailant himself. You know, you said, yeah, that's how I feel, you know, hearts and prayers out to everybody out there. It's crazy because a week before, my girlfriend was down there just visiting, and they walked past the club and was like, oh, man, we should go in there. But, you know, they weren't able to. It's kind of, but, you know, it's just crazy, you know, how things kind of come together, you know?
Yeah, I have two homosexual coworkers, and I cringed today as well as Monday. Just walking past them, I cringed. It felt so uncomfortable. I wanted to, like, pat them on the back. I don't know. It's got to be so uncomfortable knowing that it was not only an LGBT club, but it was they called it a place of solidarity. They called it a place that not only had parties, you know, and club nights for homosexuals, but a place of unity. You know what I mean? Like a place where they would come together. And
yeah.
I'm like, well, this is clearly a hate crime, and it's entirely too uncomfortable for me. But that's why, like I said on Sunday, that we need to love one another, because it can be a movie theater, it can be a club, it can be a college, a mall, an elementary school. Anything can happen at any given time. So be thankful for your life and be thankful for everyone's life around you. Now, I'm going to start with the number 79, Clayton. 79
okay.
is the number I'm going to start with. Do you have any idea what 79 is? Do you want to take a guess?
I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I didn't know if you wanted to make it like a guessing game type thing. I'm pretty sure I do, though.
Oh. Ah, look at you. See, Clayton's brilliant. Clayton is – you all will find out how brilliant Clayton is. I don't even – the fact that I know you know by the way you said that makes me just want to just shut you up right there. Let's save it a little bit. Just keep that in mind. Now, when we talk about gender discrimination in the professional world, what exactly do we mean? What exactly does this discrimination look like? What is the discrimination that you speak of, Mr. Eric Terrell? I think it falls under three categories. Now, my special guest may have a separate category. I've got three big categories that I look to. The number one category, I believe, is equal pay. Equal pay.
Yes, sir.
79 is our number of the day. And that number represents the amount of cents that women make for every dollar that a man makes. They make
like
79.
I knew that.
I know. 79 cents to a man's dollar. The other two categories that I look to is the amount of women that hold leadership positions. And the third is the amount to which, or the likelihood of which, women advance in the professional world. Advancement meaning promotions, you know, raises, you know.
Yeah.
Upward mobility, if you will. And what professions are we talking about here? Professional makes us think about business. It makes us think about finance. It makes us think about, you know, government, politicians, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But the word profession and professional, that word means anything. When I say professional discrimination, I mean just that, discrimination against female professionals, female professional janitors. They make 79 cents to the dollar. Female professional lunch, well, no, I think the lunch ladies do pretty well. But you get what I'm saying. Just about anything. tennis players, basketball players. I know a few people that were in the NBA or close to being in the NBA. One man who is from Philadelphia, where I'm from, his father coached me when I played basketball. And his son, the coach's name was Coach Christmas. We called him Coach Christmas because that's his name, Coach Christmas. And his son is Deontay Christmas. Now, a lot of people know Deontay Christmas. Deontay Christmas, Coach Christmas's son, he played for Temple. He was a Temple superstar. And he left Temple. He goes to the NBA. Now, Deontay was NBA for about 18 minutes. Okay, this is how long Deontay Christmas was in the NBA. Now, he played for, well, maybe he didn't play, but he was with the Phoenix Suns for, not 18 minutes, 3 hours and 18 minutes. 3 hours and 18 minutes. Now, these are the only minutes that Christmas was in the NBA. And during this time, he made $490,180. Why did Deontay Christmas make that much money? He made that much money because that is the minimum NBA salary, at least in 2014 when he was in the NBA. $490,180, the minimum salary. Now, in that same exact year, 2014, Deanna Taurasi, who in that year won the championship in the WNBA, and she played for the Phoenix Mercury. Bad girl. Miss Taurasi made the maximum salary in the WNBA. Take a guess what that salary was. I've got the number right here. I can't believe what I'm looking at.
Man, I'm going to give her a benefit based off of his contract and hope that it's 600 at least, but I know there's a good chance it's less.
$107,000.
Stop.
$500,000.
Don't.
you did good on this game show with the 79 cents, but you completely overshot Diana's maximum salary. Okay.
That's,
you want to talk about 79? 79 cents.
Fan. I know she went to UConn, and I've watched her play her whole career, and she does things that a lot of point guards in the NBA can't do for whatever reason. Like, she could be on, no offense, E, but she could be on the 76ers, and she could average, like, 12 and 8 against
Fellas. Now, here you, go bringing up the 7. Are we talking about the 76ers? Moving on. Moving on. So, anyway.
Oh, man.
Diana wishes she could make 79 cents to the dollar that Deontay Christmas made. However, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in just about every profession, except for lunch ladies. I wonder how much a lunch man would work would make to the lunch ladies dollar. But anyway, I've got a few more numbers here. I've got a special guest. I've got Clayton Wells, Mr. Clayton. What's your opinion on the best way to get past this? Do we just Do we just all stand behind Hillary Clinton and push for equal rights and equal pay? Is there a policy? Go ahead.
Yeah, it would have a policy would have to be created, honestly, because this is how my mind works, based off of, let's say, you know, how when Obama was elected, and a good percentage of black people said, oh, that's it, you know, we've made it to where we're supposed to make it. And, you know, throughout the years, with just the amount of, you know, police killings and other incidents happening amongst the black community, you think, you're like, well, have we really made that much progress? So just off of that aspect, I don't know if voting Hillary in would just make it, you know, because it's not her job. She can't focus just on the things that matter to her, like women's rights. She has to focus on everything. And there's a good chance that that might be one of the last things she does. Or, you know, I'm not really, you know, I was a Bernie fan, so now that she's been endorsed, I have to start looking more at her policies. But I don't know if that would be the one thing. And like you said, it might need to really be a policy where we just say, hey, you're not paying them the same amount, then, I don't know, take taxes from them. Add, you know, give them more, make the companies pay more if they're not going to pay equal pay.
That's the only thing I can think of. That's not a bad take, to be honest. It's more than I have. it's more than I have. I've just got these numbers. Let me tell you something. I've also got a great special guest. The weird thing is that this is still happening. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's like at what mm-hmm. point do we say okay, a professional woman is a professional man? They do the same thing, and I'm
exactly.
Well, I have something else to say to that point, but we have to talk to someone who I can't wait to talk to. Miss Brandi Flowers is a Penn State University graduate. She graduated from the Smeal College of Business in August of 2016 with a Master of Science in Accounting. Okay, we're talking about female professionals. All right, she served as a public accountant or as an audit associate, I guess you'd say, with KPMG, which is one of the most prestigious professional service firms in the world. That's right.
You guys just say professional now, like that all day.
We've got to say professional.
With the emphasis whenever we speak to women.
And she will soon be a certified public accountant as she looks to graduate this August. Miss Brandi Flowers. Hello, Miss Brandi Flowers. I'm sorry, I had some technical difficulties. What's going on? How you feeling?
Hey, Ari. Good. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. It's so good to have you back. So good to talk to you again. Now, you were on the show before. We had some intense, great discussion back then about a completely different topic. This time we have mm-hmm. Clayton Wells as the co-host. I'm sure you're familiar with Clayton. Clayton's crazy.
Yep.
You know Clayton's crazy.
How you doing?
I'm sure you caught on to that much. So
yeah,
we'll jump right in this way. Like I was saying before we brought you on, we do the same work, women and men. Not only that, but a woman, some may say, has a more of a likelihood to do the job better. More women are available to do the mm-hmm. job. Not only are there more than 50%
mm-hmm.
of the population that do not have Adam's apples, but women make mm-hmm. up almost 60% of our undergraduate degrees and 60% of all master's degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So just how overdue is equal pay? I guess we'll start with equal pay and then we'll get into your experience and just how we need to progress faster. Why is this still a problem, Ms. Brandi Flowers?
Yeah. So with equal pay, that is right. So as you advance higher within a corporation, women do get paid less than men. Not so much on an entry-level basis, but when you advance higher within a company, then that's where you see the wage gap. And this is based off of assumptions that women are the primary caregiver of the family. They don't stay at work longer than men, because we choose to take off and go to sporting events and deal with our child. And men are the primary financial supporter of a family. But the fact is, today, more and more women are becoming, and it's closer to 50%, more and more women are becoming the breadwinners within their family. So, like you said, there are more women graduating college than ever before in the past. And women tend to make more money than their husbands in this generation. And based off of that assumption, that's where the wage gap is coming. And to say that women don't stay at work as long as men, and to say that we don't work as hard as men, is sexist, and quite frankly is not the case anymore, because women are becoming the financial supporter of families in this generation.
That's true. Okay. The one thing that popped into my head, I don't know why, but manual labor. Have you ever thought about manual labor, union jobs, UPS, stuff like that? This may be the only other argument that they would have, is that women can't do manual labor jobs well as men could do them. Go ahead.
Well, there are certain positions where corporations will look to hire men. However, if you look at statistics, that in similar positions, in the positions that women are performing the same work as a man, that's where it's a problem that women get paid less. In some positions, yes, manual jobs where, say, a truck delivery or work for UPS, like you're lifting heavy packages, you have to lift more than 50 pounds or something like that, then those type of companies, they look to hire men over women. And so if they're performing that work, then they're getting paid for that work. However, in a job that a man and a woman is doing the same work, whether it's manual labor or not, the wage gap should not be 21% if women are performing the same work just as well as women are as men are.
Right. Clearly.
Very true.
Very true. You did not choose woman, Ms. Flowers. If you could, why would you have chosen woman? Tell our female professionals listening exactly what they have that men do not have. We see that 60% of undergraduate degrees are going to women. Why is that? Are they better thinkers? Are they better able to do more executive jobs? Go ahead.
So this is the thing. Women are making significant progress within business and within the government. So we are making progress, and I think that's because businesses are becoming more in tune with the importance of diversity. So men and women don't look the same. Men and women don't have the same emotions. So when you're working with different types of people with different opinions and people from different backgrounds and different experiences from all over the world, that creates an environment of innovation. And we think differently than men. So we will have opinions that are very different than what a man has. And that leads to quality services, that leads to quality products for a business. So I think we're able to do extremely well within the business because corporations are not only encouraging women to take on these opportunities, but are using diversity as a resource and are including diversity within strategic business plans. So that's definitely an opportunity for women within the future. However, progress is still going to be continued in the future. Like I said, there's more women willing and ready to work. And as more women enter into the business environment, what we need to do is we need to have a specific plan. We need to have goals and understandings of what we want to do within that corporation or within a job. Where do we see ourselves 1, 3, or 5 years from now? And make sure that we're understanding that. And not only do we have these plans and these goals, but make sure that other people understand what your goals are. And communicate those goals to the people on your team and the people, your managers, when you're receiving feedback in situations like that. Just make sure people understand what your goals are. Just to share like a quick example that my mentor shared with me not too long ago is she was saying that people are counting out, and women especially, are counting out of positions before the position is even available to them. So she shared this example that, and my mentor, she's a pretty senior level within her company, and she would be in meetings, and the assumptions would be made that, oh, Brandy isn't the right position for, isn't the right fit for this position because she just had a baby, or Brandy isn't the right position, isn't the right fit for this position because her husband travels a lot, so I'm not sure of her stability within this company. So those assumptions are made before the position is even available for a woman to take advantage of. But if people understand our goals and understand where we want to be within the corporation, those assumptions can be put to rest. And not only are people assuming, people know that I'm willing to put in that time commitment, I'm willing to work hard and take on more responsibilities, then someone can make the assumption that, oh, I'm not sure if she has the time. I'm not sure if she's willing to take on this work. They would know and be able to open that opportunity up for, say, me or any other women in that position.
That's great content. That's a great response. Awesome content. Talk more about your experience before we get into a more professional yeah. take as we close the show. What obstacles and what stigmas do you think a female professional faces?
Yeah, well, based on my experiences, I did internships, and mind you, I'm not as high up within the corporation just yet. So I recently came across a study that KPMG did based on women's leadership, and the women that participated in that study, many of them said the number one challenge and the number one obstacle that women face within business is the lack of confidence that they feel compared to men. And I observed this during my internship that some women would sit back and not feel as confident of expressing their ideas and expressing what they thought. And confidence comes from many different things, and it starts early in your life. And 67% of those women said that they felt as if they weren't encouraged to lead as a child. So making that personal, I can relate that directly back to my college experience too, because there was a point in time where I felt intimidated and I didn't feel as if I was as smart as other people within my classes. And it wasn't until I was introduced to many successful female leaders, many successful Black female leaders within the business or organization that I was interested in pursuing, it wasn't until then that I continued to build my confidence and understood that, yes, I too can be successful within this industry. And that's when I realized that my grades, and I started performing better within my classes. And now thinking back to it in hindsight, my qualifications, like my GPA, my experiences, my leadership positions, study abroad experiences, were all up to par, if not better, than the different students in my classes. So the point is not that women are not as smart as men or women do not have the qualifications that men have. Women lack the confidence that we can perform well, and that allows us, when we lack the confidence, that allows us to perform at a level that's lower than our full potential. And that's a huge challenge that women face within an organization or any industry.
I want to say goodbye to our live listeners. They should be leaving us.
Bye.
They leave after. Oh, yeah, to the live listeners. Clayton, did you have anything to add before I jump in for a dramatic conclusion?
Not really, man. She hit the nail right on the head. It's, as far as them looking, you know, overlooking women for a position, that's a shame. That's something that you would think is an easy fix as far as, you know, the initial interview you have with whoever it is, you would think they would let you know then. It's like almost, it's like you have
that's
to take her for her word, you know?
Yeah, that's why it's important to express what you want within the company so other people would know exactly what opportunities you are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And the confidence point is very deep.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about
when
you think about women competing with men,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times you think the word man is just a big word sometimes. It's like there's men and then there's me. And women are always told that they've got to be perfect in the professional world and in the personal world. You know, I'm not thin enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not pretty enough. But women come to a point in their lives where they make a decision whether they're going to try and be enough or they're going to just know that one way or another I am enough. And whoever tells me no is not the person I need to be talking to.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that pressure for us to be perfect and to balance both a family and be a corporate career woman, that's the pressure that women face. And if we feel as if we're not up to par with that standard, then that's when the lack of confidence starts to happen. When we feel as if we're not performing as well or doing as well as people think we are doing. And then if we're not on that level, then that's when the level of confidence starts to decrease.
Now, the other statistic, as we close in a few minutes, that everyone looks at is the S&P 500 companies, the Fortune 500 companies, and how many of them have female CEOs. Right now it stands at 4.6%. Whatever the number 21 is, that's 4.2 or 4.6% of the CEOs in Fortune 500 companies are women. 21 out of 500 of those CEOs are women. Now, that's the third of the three things that I began the show with. I began with advancement and equal pay and the amount of women in leadership roles. Advancement and leadership roles kind of fit into the same umbrella anyway. So if you could touch on that. I mean, everything that you've said already kind of relates to that. But if there's anything that statistic makes you think about, let us have it.
This answer may be surprising, but I believe that since corporations are making progress, the study that KPMG did with women's leadership, 88% of women said they are encouraged when they see female leaders. So the fact that more and more females are becoming leaders of their corporations. For example, KPMG just appointed not too long ago a female CEO and chairman of KPMG in the United States. And seeing that, and more companies are following that important element that business is lacking, that gives the confidence and it gives other young women like myself or young girls the motivation that you too can reach that level of success. So although right now the numbers aren't where we want them to be with female CEOs and female leaders within companies, but I really do believe that since businesses are, like I said before, businesses are more in tune with the idea of diversity and how important it is and how it can benefit a company, then we'll start seeing more and more diverse leaders And that allows for younger women, younger professionals to continue to have that confidence and continue to be motivated that, yes, I can reach that level if I work hard, I have a specific plan, and more women are encouraged by female CEOs and female leaders that I believe will still continue to increase in the future. And I think we're moving into a right direction, although we're not there yet. But I think with so many women graduating college, like you said, so many women willing to work and so many willing people to reach those positions, I think is looking good for women in the future.
Right, that's it. Now, in closing, do you have any last words to any young female professionals who are trying to become what you are right now, trying to trailblaze their way through? Go ahead.
I have a long way to go. But I would just say, like, continue to be confident, and also, so I didn't mention this earlier, but it's important to have within whatever industry you're in, with whatever corporation you're working with, it's important to seek out mentors and important to seek out sponsors. So I think more and more people are becoming aware of the differences between a mentor and a sponsor, where a mentor will help you set those goals that I was speaking about earlier. A mentor will give you advice about the corporation or the industry. However, a sponsor is there to identify your accomplishments. A sponsor is there to understand your work ethic and be an advocate for you when you're not in the room. So if we go back to the example where people are getting cut out of opportunities before it's even presented to them, if you seek out sponsors, someone in that room will say, no, I saw what Brandy has accomplished. I saw the work ethic that she has, and I believe that she is the perfect person for this position. So it's important to seek out those people who you believe you relate to or can help you accomplish what you're looking to accomplish, and then they can be an advocate for you whenever you're not in the room and when people are making assumptions about you. So
that's it. There you have it.
Yeah. Continue to be confident, seek out mentors, seek out sponsors, and continue to work hard, and you can do it. You can.
There we go. Now, where do people find you? Where do people find you if they want to get in contact with you? Give us an email address or something.
Yeah, if you want to get in contact with me over all social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you can find me at Brandy Flowers, or you can contact me through email. My email is brandyflowers15@gmail.com. You can reach me that way, and I'll sure to be get back to you as soon as possible.
Oh, yeah. It's over. The Girl Power Series. Right. We got Summer Love coming up. Listen here, next week we have an interesting episode. We don't usually do this on the Eric Terrell Show, but we're going to do an episode that's all about, as Miss Brandy Flowers said, confidence. Hello? I have a fellow stand-up comedian who works in psychiatry. He's a shrink. That's right. He's a shrink, and he's a stand-up comedian. Mr. Jared Keith is going to join us and talk about how much you need to like yourself. Okay, how much time in the mirror is too much? How much do you like yourself? Do you like yourself too much or not enough? That's next week. Love is the most important thing, people. Love yourself. Love other people. Love the truth. And love, love. It's not hard to love, love. All you've got to do is love God, because God is love. And God, come on, Clayton.
What about God? What did he do?
He did it.
God did it.
God did it,
baby.
Oh, wait.
Miss Flowers, Mr. Wells, appreciate y'all. Hey, say it with me, Clayton. Girl powers. Come on, say it.
Girl,
I do the best one
for y'all. I did it for y'all. It's not for me. It's for y'all. Girl
power. Yeah. One more time, Brandy. This is gonna end the show for real. Do it one more time, Brandy.
Girl power.
Oh, that was a strong one. That's
a professional
version. That's
the Hillary Clinton.
Here you go.
Girl power.
You got it, girl. We have power, and we have to believe that, and it'll work out for us.
Y'all have more power than us, but we can't let y'all know that.
Yeah, I did. I had kind of a demeaning girl power. I made it. Brandy's like, no, girl power. Okay, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
All right. Take care, Eric. Thank you again so much.